My name is Nikki. My surname is Carstens. My wife Tanya is not here. We have my 95-year-old mother that just moved in with us, and she's looking after my mum. And I'm the father of two boys, also Benjamin. We you guys committed or not, or just introduced them. Benjamin and Sebastian. Benjamin's with Luke Watson in Milnerton. Sebastian is in the Netherlands with Peter and Afia de Korte. And he's just so grateful. They were two complete hooligans. I was convinced they were demonized when they were young. The one, if I played with him, I bled. If I looked and spoke to him, he scratched me and bit me. And then he got, first the one got saved, then the next one got saved. And basically just saved means an encounter with God that's not based on your tradition, but a real thing that changes your heart. So first the oldest one came home, and he went on a trip to Malawi during COVID. And he came home, and he just said, no, I met Jesus. And I went, okay, let's see the fruit. And then he started worshiping in his room, and he would come down, and everything out of his mouth was just Jesus. And eventually the younger one, Benjamin, walked up to him and said, the answer to everything in this world is not Jesus. So he got convicted, and he got angry, and he went, where did my brother go? I don't know you, this guy, anymore. And I saw Benjamin wrestling with God and eventually submitted and surrendered. And now he's just a lover. And now it's just God coming out of his mouth. So it's actually so funny. I've got two dogs, Italian water dogs that's unruly. I've got two chickens, the one's Jennifer Lopez, and the other one's Hey Hey. And we're in a like built-up area, so I'm sort of wanting to farm, but I can't. And so that's us. Tanya, I just want to say thanks so much for you guys, all the Sunnydale PM guys that came to join. I just mentioned it. I didn't ask anyone to come. And the next moment, they just started organizing cars and driving together. And so it's so good to have you guys here. My wife sends a message. Tess, could you put up that scripture for me, Hebrews 10, verse 39? So she woke up this morning and she said to me, I've got a message for the church. You are not the ones to shrink back. Do not shrink back. And she said, God wants to move this church forward and equip you. So whatever you're at, whatever God's put on your hands, don't shrink back now. It's almost like that anticipation of this stuff coming. Whatever fights you're fighting, just keep going. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed. That's the consequence. But of those who believe and are saved. Another version says, saved, our souls being saved. So walking with God leads to salvation and our souls being saved. So I'm wanting today to build faith and just honor God. He's been incredible in my life. I have so many stories. I was driving here and I was trying to time it perfectly that I'm not late, that I'm here for a prayer meeting. We live in Malpos, so it's about an hour's drive, a little bit less. And I just thought I have too many stories to tell of God's goodness. And today, I just want to mention so these are all faith stories. These are all things that God takes us. He leads us to salvation. And he loves us before we even think about him. He comes and gets us and encounters us. And we have this thing that happens to us that we can't even put into words. And then you end up in this place. And everyone has a story of that encounter. And that encounter is so kind. It's so beautiful that we want to just surrender our lives. So if you're sitting here this morning, I'm going to read a section out of scripture later that just explains what that thing is and that how that happens. And it starts with him starting to draw our hearts. We don't even understand how our hearts are being drawn. But we end up through people in a place like this. And he leads us to repentance. And he wants to separate that division between us and him. And it's all for the sake of him. 1 Colossians says, we made by him and for him. Everything has been made by him. He's in all and through all and over all. And for him. So we his pleasure. Then if you could put up that scripture, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 2 and 3. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. That's everybody out there, non-believers, out in the world. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Isn't that beautiful? That we're being written, every one of us, into a letter that is there to be read by the world. And wow, it is the scariest thing and the most painful thing, but the most rewarding thing. Like, I remember God calling me, and I was scared to death. I just thought, I read the scripture, and it says, give up your life, die. If you want to hold on to your life, you will lose it. And if you lose your life, you will find it. What a scary thing for an unbeliever to go, God, I encountered you, but now what? And then somehow he led me in a church, and I'm sitting in this church, and there's a guy in the front here preaching, but my heart is burning. And I'm going, God, I just want to surrender, but this is the scariest thing that I've ever done. And you're not alone. This is scary for all of us. But he's the kindest one. He's the one that takes a broken life, takes every area, and starts changing and fixing it. And I just want to speak about that this morning, of the changing and the fixing. And we're never too old. We're never too young. We're never too old. I've grown old in this church. I actually want to just like, this is part of my introduction, but we were part of a little group of eight people that came down from Port Elizabeth, started a small little church in a house that was rented. And this thing, and we didn't have outreaches, we didn't have banners and posters, we didn't have programs. We just lived our life. And as we went surfing, we would meet somebody in the water and go, "What? Who are you?" "No, my name is Nikki. We started a church." "Oh, what? A church? Like, aren't churches those big buildings?" And no. It's actually a relationship with God. And we're meeting in a house. Come and visit us. So people would just come and visit. And this thing grew and grew and grew. And today it's 56 congregations. A small little seed. Eight people that said, "My heart is burning. This is what God is calling me to by faith. And this is the result." Jeez, I'm going to be crying a lot today. it's amazing. You prepare a preach, and then God just sidelines it. And this happened twice to me this week. Sean asked me to come and preach, and I went, "I don't know the church. I don't know where you guys are at." I almost didn't want to ask. I trusted God, and I had this preach that I sat on the whole week, and the longer I looked at it, the more uncomfortable I got. I just got, 10-minute introduction, hey, time flies. Oh, my heck. Okay, I'll be quicker. And I got so uncomfortable with this preach, eventually I lay awake the one night, and I mean, no, okay, I can't do this. That was Friday. So I'm like, okay, I'm in serious trouble here. I don't preach often. I'm not Mike Davies or Andrew Selly or that can just come up with a preach in 5 minutes. So yesterday I'm sitting and then this thing started brewing in me and it came together this morning. So I just want to deliver this. I really feel this is what the Lord's saying to you guys. And it's not by power, not by might. It's by his Spirit. And he builds our lives by his Spirit. And it requires faith. So I want to speak around faith this morning. So Tanya and I have so many beautiful stories of faith becoming action. Normally comes with pain because God speaks. And then you go, oh, can't give that thing up. I can't, that's hard. But as we are obedient, then he turns our lives into something beautiful. And he turns that area into something beautiful. And that becomes whole. And everyone looks at it and recognizes it as whole and as God's fingerprint on that area. And that's the living letters. So we have a list of stories. We, Tanya worked, or God, Tanya, God woke me up, gave me Tanya's name with her previous surname, and that I just got a name at 3 a.m. And I met her once, I didn't know who she was, and I went, what must I do with this name? And then I sort of getting to know her and checking her out and going, whoa, she's quite hot. And then as I got to know her, I started realizing the stuff I'd asked for quietly. God, I want to marry somebody with artistic eyes that sees the world through eyes of creativity. And then I realized, no, she's an artist. Then, as I got to know her, I just started realizing more and more, these are all the answers to my questions, quietly in different places. And at the same time, he spoke to her and said, that guy there on the other side of the church, he's your husband. And she went, please, God, no, I'm not. So that's one faith story. Now, so we are convinced God put us together. I actually prayed and said, God, I want to ask for an arranged marriage. I don't trust myself. I'll just get attracted to someone and then get into trouble. And then before I know it, it's just nonsense. So he put us together. Then we wanted to buy a house, and he spoke to her clearly. And he said, I'm going to give you a gift. Somebody prophetically came up to her, said, I'm going to give you a gift. The next day I saw the house, and do you want to come? And I said to her, do you want to come and have a look at this house? And she went, no, I'm busy. And then God spoke to her in that moment, into her heart, saying, don't you want the gift? Well, we paid for it, and we're still paying the bond, but it's still a gift from God. There's so many of these stories that God takes areas of our lives. And it's about preaching the gospel, but it's about surrendering our lives to him, because we are the living letters. It's not be saved, Jesus is the answer. It's true, but you can't be a hypocrite. You can't just say that stuff. Your life has to reflect it. So he writes our lives as living letters that authenticates what we say and when we speak. And he's doing it with you guys. I got so excited, I drove past the other day from Amanus, saw your signboard, saw the building. I mean, that's amazing. There's lives in there. Forget about the building. This is a beautiful building, but it's about you. You're the body of Christ. I'm not even preaching. I'm not even coming to anything I want to say. So I'll go quickly through this. So he starts with salvation. Then he starts building our lives on his word and by faith. Because we build our lives in all kinds of directions. Whatever seems right. Whatever we like. Yeah. Tess, could you put up that picture of the wave? The red reflection. It's your welcoming Josh Jen screensaver. That one. So that thing was my idol. The ocean, sea, the moods of the sea, the waves. At 14 years old, I sat on the rocks at Nuatuk and with my brother, and he asked me, I was watching a surfing contest, and I said to him, I want to be world champion in that sport. Something of him, he gripped my heart. I didn't even know what I was saying, but it was consuming. And from 14 years old, I devoted my life to, I just got into the sea. I lived in the sea. I spent 8 hours a day surfing. I loved it so much. The love became a drive. The drive became a pursuit of surfing. And eventually it became an idol, and it became my identity. And I only spoke to you if we had waves or sea or diving or swimming or surfing in common. The rest of you were just aliens to me. Like you live your 9-to-5 jobs, but I am in pursuit of being the best in that thing. I don't know where that came from. I think it's a gift that God put on me, but I distorted that thing. And out of my brokenness, out of me not having a father that was leading me and strengthening me and encouraging me, I was going, I will be the best and I will show the world. And so I'm busy telling you this one faith story. And then I'm going to point that back to Jesus. So I competed all over the world. I would be so committed a guy wrote an article about me and said, this guy's a bona fide fanatic. He moves his life to a city in the world to go and practice and surf there. And I would go and live in Bordeaux in France for 3 months just to practice because there was an event. And then I would move to East London to go and surf there just to practice because there's an event. Then I'll go to Australia and live there. And it was always going to be the best in this thing. And every time I competed, I came second. I got second in the world, I think, 3-4 times. And it killed me. I went, this is my dream. And I don't know how to get this. And everything has consequences. So as we devote ourselves to stuff, you neglect other things. So I neglected everything. I neglected my studies. I neglected my family. I neglected friendships. I just went, this is what I'm doing, and I'm going to get this thing. And it was like, at that time, the universe was against me. I wasn't aligned with the stars. My chakras were so out of line. Everything was just not sinking. And at some point, God called me twice. The first time I surrendered to a degree, but I didn't know how to give myself. I wanted to. I knew it was truth. But it was like, later, when I'm older, you don't surrender your life to God when you're young. I mean, what, you want to just be boring? I want to party and travel and do things. Then he called me again when I was about 25, and by that time I had really gone down roads, things that hurt me. That's not what I'm going to share today. What I want to share is, when he calls you, you know it's him. I didn't even know how to describe it to my friends, but I called a friend of mine, and I said, hey, do you want to meet at this our normal pub? I'll buy you a beer. So bought him a beer, and I said, I had this encounter with God that I can't explain. I'm so consumed by him that I have to surrender my life. I have to completely get into this. So I went from bona fide fanatic surfing to, where does it say that? In Corinthians, it says, if we are out of our mind, we are out of our mind for God. And I went, that's me. I'm out of my mind for God. Everything I'm doing doesn't make sense to people. But this is the highest truth I've ever found. This is the deepest love I've ever experienced. And then I got drawn into this church, and I surrendered, and I put the fear aside, and I went, I have to devote myself to this. I have to I want to give myself to him. And the more you read the scripture, the more you realize he who holds on to his life will lose it. And he who surrenders his life will find it. And so I'm in a church like this in Port Elizabeth. This was before Josh Jen started. And there's always one prophetic lady. Someone that's really prophetic. They're normally quite odd. They're a little bit eccentric. They speak God's truth. She's laughing. I loved your word about the harbor. It feels like it's for the church, for now. And I'm not talking about you. But there's always a prophetic lady. And you know it. So she comes up to me the one day. Now, sorry to the PM guys, you've heard the story before. See, she comes up to me the one day and she goes, I have a word from you, from God. And I go, amazing. What is it? So she goes, horse. So I go, and? No, horse. So I go, what must I do with that? She goes, no, God just gave me one word. And here it is. And I'm going, okay, thank you. And it's not like you can even write it down. It's not a verse. It's just, okay, I'll file that somewhere in my prophetic file. So now what God was doing at that time in me was, every time I would walk into church, we would, like this morning, we come into worship, I started worshiping him. He's changed something in my life that I want to worship him. And it's still foreign. I'm still awkward with all these people putting their hands up. And I'm going, this is really, I'll put my hands up like this. And I'm wrestling because this is foreign. I came out of traveling and partying and doing stuff. And now I'm in this happy clappy church where everyone's doing this stuff. And it's awkward, but I'm wanting to. Something in my heart is burning. And I'm just losing my track of thought here. So horse was the word. And just give me a moment. Watch it. Whoever said that. This is the weirdest thing. It's like when you preach, there's always a point where the Spirit wants to start taking over, and we're out of step. So, and then you lose your thought in that moment. And because he wants to speak to you guys, not me. And so I think I'm there now. So I'm worshiping and I'm surrendering to him. And every time I go into worship, I feel give up surfing. So now, bearing in mind, this is my pursuit from 14. I'm living this. I'm loving this. This is my idol. My identity is wrapped, intertwined with this thing. And then I'll get into worship again, and I'll go, sell your surfboards. I'm like, this is whack. I don't even consider this. And it didn't stop. I couldn't worship God without hearing this thing. So eventually I give in. So just go, okay, take all my stuff, sell it all. So you're not allowed to surf. And at that moment, I got the word horse at that time. And I think 2.5 years later, I'm in church. But now I don't have a personality because that's my idol. I don't have an identity. The only thing I have is I am attending a happy, clappy church. And I had an encounter with God, and I'm in a city that I don't like, and I'm not doing what I love, and it's all just suffering for me and dying. And I have to learn to express myself and speak about my feelings when somebody comes up to me and go, how are you doing, my son? And I'm going, don't ask me that stuff. I don't even know how I'm doing. And because this is awkward, being thrown together. If you're whole, it's just beautiful. This is a beautiful fragrance. If you're broken, this is the most awkward thing. Like, I would be nervous to go to church because what was going to happen? People are going to ask me awkward questions, and I'm battling with my sin, and I'm battling with my mind, and I was so far down the road, I struggled to speak to people. So what I did was I lived a life that was getting narrower and narrower and narrower, all on the things that were my strengths. And now I'm in this church, and God's going, I want to make your life wider and wider. But that means all your strengths you're going to lay down, and I'm going to work in your weaknesses. And our weaknesses could be many things. I think you all know what yours is. Then 2 years later, I'm in this church in worship again, and I just feel in my heart start surfing again. And it's so foreign. It was such a foreign thought. It felt like I'd lost my personality and my identity. And now, and I go, was that just my imagination? Then another prophetic lady comes up to me and says, hey, I feel the Lord saying you need to pursue your dreams again. So I go, okay. Then somebody else said, oh, that next week I see the World Championships it rotates throughout the world, different countries. And the World Championships is going to be in Jeffreys Bay in 3 months' time or 4 months' time. And I get this cold feeling. Like, I've been nonstop surfing for my whole life. Now I haven't done it for 2 years. I don't know if I can. I don't know if I'm good enough to compete anymore because I've just stopped completely. And the story is not too long. I'll speed up a little bit. You're all still looking at me. No one's falling asleep, eh? Yeah. Okay. It's morning, so we should be awake. Okay. It's a good story, I promise. And I go to this, and I used to shape my own, design my own board. So I design a board, I make it, I get all the equipment again. I start practicing, and I'm going, this is going to be really tight. 3-4 months to get fit to that level again. So I get there, almost get there. But now the rules have changed completely. Before, I was competing on arrogance, pride, superiority, strength. You'd intimidate your components or your opponents, and you need such a belief that you are the best that you act that way, and you live that way, and you surf that way. And now I'm coming underneath God, and I have to walk humbly, and I need to ask and pray for whatever desires I have. And I'm going, the rules have changed so radically, I don't know how to function. So now I'm like on my knees going, God, if it's your will, I'm going to compete. But if I just need to speak to someone about you, I'll do that. So every morning I'm preparing my heart to who am I going to bump into at the competition, all my old friends. And so I'm learning how to live with completely different rules. And surfing is, I can't be the best anymore. I have to come underneath Jesus and say, ask him and honor him and be humble. And this is all foreign. So he does, so I'm in the turmoil of this thing and I'm at the competition. And every heat I'm taking part in, I'm winning, and I'm carrying on. But every heat I'm holding up to him, going, Lord, if it's your will for this. So I'm learning to follow him. And one day I'm sitting in this tent in the competitors area, and there's a guy busy sketching. And I look over his shoulder, and somebody would give him a piece of paper, and they would sign their signature. And he'll take the signature and draw on the signature, and it becomes a set of eyes, and then a head, and then and he would do it with one person. And they go, wow. And then the next person. So I go, okay, grab a piece of paper, sign my signature, and I give it to him. And he starts drawing in ears and hooves and the whole thing, and draws a horse. But it's a bit like a cross between a donkey and a horse. It's a bit of a mule. And I mean, that was part of the story. I was stubborn. But in that moment, God speaks into my heart. It was like a download. Who watched The Matrix? It's my favorite movie. I cried my eyes out in The Matrix. I thought it was the most profound thing. The blue pill, the red pill, follow Jesus, give up your life, or return back to your old ways, go down the rabbit hole. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. And it was like a download of who he is, what he is. So in the Old Testament, in Abraham makes a covenant. And he plants a tamarisk tree in memory of his covenant that he just made. And he calls God on one name, for the first time in the Bible, and he calls him El Olam. And El Olam is eternal God. So never before had anyone called God eternal God. They called him, he's got different names and different character attributes. And in that moment, he calls him El Olam, and God downloaded that thing in me. He's going, I'm El Olam. I'm eternal. I'm unchanging. I was there when I rescued you, when I called you, when you didn't know who I was. Then I walked with you and I taught you how to live under my principles and obey me and surrender to me. And now you're competing here, and I am here, and I've always been the same. And I loved you then, and I love you now. And I'm with you, and I'll never leave you, and I will finish what I've started in you. And all of that in a moment. And that's become part of my identity, because it was such a painful road. Because it was one of my deepest dreams. And he got into that thing and put his fingerprint on it. And the fingerprint on me. And now El Olam, the eternal God, is one who I know, who I speak to, who I hold on to. And that's the story I want to tell this morning. Is God wants his fingerprint in every area of our lives. He wants to imprint himself onto every area. But geez, we go around mountains and go down rabbit holes and get stuck in sin and then come out of it again. And it all culminate in who we are. But this morning, I feel for us that, or for you, when I was driving here, the Lord wants to create a space for us to bring areas of our lives that we haven't surrendered, or that we've been wrestling with him, or that he's even been speaking about, and put his fingerprint on that area. But that's by faith. That's going, God, I want you to come into this area. I want you to speak into this thing. Like it was one word for me. It was the word horse. But that turned my whole surfing perception, my dream, my identity into something that was a living letter for him. And that's a powerful testimony, but that's not just for me. It's for every single one of us. And many of you, you've walked with the Lord for a long time, and you know how he's turned areas of your life from death into life. And there's two things. He's calling people today. So I want to read a section of scripture that is almost a call. Or it is a call. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15. You don't have to turn there. We'll just put it up on the board. So I'll just read it, and I'm trusting the Lord that he's calling someone here today. That this is his word speaking to you today. Today is the day of salvation for you. And he died, that's Jesus, for all of us. That those who live should no longer live for themselves. That was me living for myself. But for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. If you can carry on. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us a ministry of reconciliation. Sean mentioned that when we were breaking bread earlier, to be reconciled. And reconciling just means there's a barrier between Christ and every single one of us. And that thing that divides is sin. It's our wrong choices. It's we not honoring God for who he is. He's the highest authority, the highest truth, the one with the perfect law, the one that loves us unconditionally. But he can't be with us if there's a division. And the division is sin. I'm going to carry on reading. So that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ Jesus, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. That's what I'm doing this morning. I'm standing here as an ambassador for Christ, making an appeal. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Okay, the next scripture. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. And all that word righteousness means is we in right standing with God. So he made himself sin. He took our sin, all our wrongdoing, all our bad decisions, all my things that wrecked my life, all my distorted identities and idols that I've built and made bigger than him. And he put that on himself so that we may have freedom, so we may have right standing with God. Let's just go to the next verse. Six, verse 1 and 2, Corinthians 6. And verse 2 says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. This is God speaking. I tell you now, now is the time of God's favor, and now is the time of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. So this is such a, I've been speaking about around God's call in our lives and how he draws us and we don't understand it. That is his call for some today. So if you're sitting here and you're feeling that's truth, there is a response. And we can help you with that response. The response is just, the Bible says, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. We will be set in right standing with him. And we know when we don't have right standing with God. All of us, every single one of us. So this morning, if that is you, if you confess in front of men, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That's a promise. That's not my words. That's God's words in the Bible. So if there's anyone here, if there's anyone here this morning, and that's you, your heart is pounding, your heart's burning, going, this is for me. I know it, and we recognize it. Do you want to put up your hand? Just to show, just a declaration in front of men and women that that's me. I want to surrender my life. It's almost standing before God, going, God, here I am. Going to give a few more moments. I believe God is calling someone here today.